us. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit, although born in a family of great devotees, the Pandavas, and although securely trained in the transcendental attachment for the association of the Lord, still found the allurement of mundane family life so strong that he had to be detached by a plan of the Lord. Such direct action is taken by the Lord in a case of a special devotee. Maharaj Parikshit could understand this by the presence of the topmost transcendentalist in the universe. The Lord resides with his devotees, and therefore the presence of great saints indicated the presence of the Lord. The king therefore welcomed the presence of the rishis as a mark of a favor of the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Mitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindur Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavanebayo Vaishnavebayo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Adishitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, on behalf of myself, I'm very grateful to the devotees of the manor that given me an opportunity to engage myself in some service. Also grateful that this is an opportunity to purify myself. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees that I can say something relevant to today's verse. As I begin by saying grateful, I can say that my wife and my son, they always tell me I'm a great fool. Eh? I'm grateful, but I'm also a great fool in another way as well. Eh? So before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer his respectful obeisances onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, onto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and onto this Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and onto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So today's verse, I think, quite befitting my own lifestyle. Yeah, I'm also a Grihastha. And this is explaining how, when one is attached, the Supreme Lord, in one way or the other, tries to teach us a lesson. Yeah? There are many lessons to be learned in life. Yeah? It begins by being a brahmachari, then grihastha, vanapras, sannyas. These are the different stages of life. But we can see in the example and the life of Maharaj Parikshit, what a great devotee he is. He's a Mahabhagavat. And can you imagine coming in the disciplic succession of the Pandavas, where Lord Krishna recited the Bhagavad Gita to his grandfather, Arjuna. And due to the curse of the Brahmana, we're fortunate that we get to hear and relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very essence of all literatures. This 19th chapter is categorized in three different areas. It begins with the art of repentance. We see in the beginning, how there's repentance by Maharaj Parikshit, that how could I do such a sinful thing? Then it goes on to a few more verses. And the next stage that it teaches us is excellent etiquette, by bowing his head to his seniors. That's something we need to learn. We'll discuss a little further. And then the third part of this particular chapter is consult authorities despite being experienced. So we can see how the chapter is actually broken down into many categories. And each of these categories is therefore our own example, how we should learn. How should we learn the art of repentance? Because all of us in our life, particularly in the beginning and also in the middle and also at the end, perfect example of this is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At the last stage of his life, he asked for forgiveness from all his god brothers, even though his own god brothers had offended him in many ways by not helping him to push the movement forward. But still, out of his humility, out of his compassion to teach us a lesson, he shows the example. So we can see that Maharaj Parikshit is a great Mahabhagavata. It's due to his kindness, it's due to his mercy, that even though the Bhagavatam was already written by Sukadeva Goswami's father, Vyasadeva, but for the benefit of humanity at large, the Bhagavatam was recited on the bank of River Ganges for 7 days, where Maharaj Parikshit had very well known that he has 7 days to live. And at this stage, he's asking, what should I do? And this is how the Bhagavatam begins. We can see that mrityu sarvasaham, that death is going to come. And it says within the 7 days, and it is 7 days for all of us, regardless of who we are. or where we are. Yeah? So this example is already set forth here for us. But the point is, what are we learning from this? The question is that what do we need to learn? Yeah? The examples are there. There are many examples within the Bhagavatam where devotees have been forced to surrender to Krishna. Yeah? And such examples are there in abundance. Yeah? Begins with Queen Kunti. Never mind just Queen Kunti, but since the beginning of creation, when Lord Brahma was asked to create the material universe, yeah? First of all, what did he have to do? He had to go through some tapasya. Yeah? And then, after doing some tapasya, he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? And then he surrendered to the Lord. When one surrenders to the Lord, yeah, this is when really our spiritual life begins. Yeah? There are so many examples of how devotees have surrendered their life to Krishna, to Prabhupada, and to the movement. Unless and until we can come to the point of surrender, yeah, we will not be able to advance in spiritual life. Yeah? Our spiritual life is just not dependent on our own endeavors, our own efforts. Yeah? But the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of the guru, yeah? And the mercy of Krishna. Everything can fall into place if we actually adhere to these points, what has been set forth by the acharya, not just the acharyas, but also the other devotees. Yeah? So repentance is something that we really need to apply in our daily life. Because at every stage of our life, we'll be committing some kind of mistakes, some kind of offenses. Yeah? We will not become free of the offenses until we acquire the taste of the chanting the holy name. And that taste is not easy to come. Yeah? That taste takes a lot of experience, a lot of guidance. Yeah? But it's not just a chanting, but are we actually chanting offenselessly? Yeah? We're all chanting 16 rounds. Yeah? Some of us have been chanting 16 rounds for 30, 35 years, maybe more. Yeah? But still, we're asking ourselves, yeah, where are we in our Krishna consciousness? We need to ask these questions. We need to repent so that we can actually make advancement. Yeah? The whole point of coming to Krishna consciousness after 8,400,000 births and deaths, yeah? We've been here in the material world for millions and billions and gazillions of years, yeah? And we've been given the opportunity to have a human form of life. And if we don't use it for the purpose that it's meant for, yeah? Then our life is simply just like the cats and dogs. Atatha Brahma Jigyasa. Now we have to awaken ourselves. Yeah? Just like in the morning, when the alarm bell goes, you know, we know it's time to wake up. Yeah? But we still feel just another few more moments. Yeah? Just another few more minutes. Yeah? And these few moments, few seconds, turn into moments. Yeah? Moments can turn into hours. Yeah? Hours turns into days. In the same way, you know, this opportunity that we have been given is lost before our eyes, before our life. Yeah? Because each and every one of us are going to die at one stage or another. Yeah? Here, Maharaj Parikshit is saying that due to my attachment to family life, the Lord has very graciously blessed me. So we can see that these blessings are not always to what we want them to be. Each and every one of us, we want blessings, but what kind of blessings should we actually ask for? And Maharaj Parikshit is saying that how to detach from the family life. So there are many aspects to this. When one is a grihastha, is also known as grihastha ashram. And there are grihasthas who are grihamedis. And very nicely, Prahlad Maharaj actually explains this in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavatam, when we read further on, we'll find out. He explains that grihastha life at times is like griha kupam anda. That it's like a blind well without any water in there. You know, when you have a well, the purpose of the well is to have water in there. And that well serves our purpose of life, serves us the water, which is a necessity of our existence. So if it's empty, if something is empty, what are we going to gain from it? What will we get out of it? So Prahlad Maharaj is actually explaining that this is like a well without any water. We're blind to this material life. We're blind in this grihastha life, that thinking, you know, this is now giving me a license to do whatever I need to do. You know, I can be outside, I can live outside and chant 16 rounds and think I'm Krishna conscious. But Prahlad Maharaj says on the contrary, that unless one actually makes advancement to these points, then our life is simply wasted. Eating, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the necessities of life. These necessities are very freely given to the animals. But as a human being, we have to work very hard. We have to work so hard to maintain a house, to maintain a family, to maintain a car, to maintain our spiritual life. There's so much required to do this. But if the well is empty, all we'll be interested is in aham, that my life, what I should be doing. This is what I want. But the purpose is that it is meant to be grihastha ashram. The word is added ashram to every stage. Brahmachari ashram. You all live, you're very fortunate, most of you, you are there in the ashram. And the point of being in the ashram is to actually make advancement, to learn. So in the same manner, grihastha ashram. The word ashram is so that we can actually make advancement in our spiritual life. And then after grihastha ashram comes the vanaprastha ashram. That family life, once we've done our responsibility, it is explained by Prabhupada that after the age of 50, one should go to the one. 51. One means the forest. One, not the figure one as we know it, but in Sanskrit, Prabhupada is explaining one means the forest. So one should give up family life after a certain stage. But in the modern day and age that we live in, it is, some of these things are not practically possible. But Prabhupada has given us everything that we need. When we become dependent on the spiritual master and the association of the devotees. Only then will we be able to actually understand what we're meant to be doing. And such examples are there within our acharyas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had 12 sons, but he was a grihastha. He was a grihastha, but his lifestyle was of such that he is actually one of the pioneers of our movement. He's written so many bhajans, and particularly one of the bhajans that he's written is a book called Sharanagati. Within the Sharanagati, he writes, Manasa Deho Geho Choki Chumora, that, oh my Lord, my mind, body, family, and whatever else may be mine, I surrender at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. So, you know, these are some of the lessons that we need to learn. These are the things that we need to adhere to. But we can only do this if we are willing to surrender. Just like, as I said, there are so many examples. Mother Kunti, in spite of having so many obstacles in life, where her sons have been trying to kill, what could be more harmful for a mother? What could be more harmful for a mother than to see that someone is trying to kill my sons? There are so many instances of it. Bhima was poisoned. They were sent to a palace of wax where they were trying to be burnt. But still, when Kunti is not saying, oh my Lord Krishna, I'm trying to become your devotee, why are you doing this to me? The point is that we need to surrender. Surrender sometimes doesn't come willingly. Just like a child. When the child is under the shelter of the parents, he has no worries, there's no anxieties. For him, it's like Vaikuntha. There is no anxiety because all the necessities, all the things required for the child is supplied by the parents. Parents will work very hard, will put in all the efforts, all the endeavors. They'll do all the things that's required without considering themselves. They'll put themselves out. So the child's needs are met. So if we become like that, if you become like dependent on Krishna, become dependent on the spiritual master, become dependent on the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will surely look after us. As a child grows up, realizes that, there are a bit of restrictions, that there are do's and don'ts within the house. I'd like my freedom. So decides that by wanting this freedom, the amount of effort, the amount of hard work I'll have to put in, doesn't realize until he goes through these obstacles. Realizes in order to have a house, you need to have money. In order to have money, you have to get a job. In order to have a job, you have to have education. The thing just, everything just reels on. There's one thing after another. And then realizes, now I've got a job, I've got a bit of a small house, I've got something, but the bills just keep coming. The bills just keep coming and I've got nothing left. But when the same child was under the protection, under the shelter, under the umbrella of the parents, I had no worry, nothing whatsoever. The same way, If and when we come to this point, we realize our life is actually so submissive. Being Krishna consciousness is so submissive, is so sublime, that actually everything for our needs is catered for. Every single thing for our life is catered for. We can see this in the life of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the very childhood, he was always interested in spiritual life because his parents created the environment, created the environment in such a way that the spiritual surrounding was always there. And Prabhupada himself, he says, even once after he became a big acharya, when he had thousands and thousands of followers, he says, I'm indebted to my parents because they have given me the path of bhakti, because they taught me the right things. So all of us, we're either living in an ashram, we're living outside. But the point is, what are we going to do to help ourselves to advance in Krishna consciousness? This can only be done through the association of devotees. Prabhupada says that he built a whole house which the whole world can live in. So in spite of whatever's going on outside, the fear for most people have been so far the coronaviruses. And we can see that many devotees within our own community had left us due to this. But there are many more other fears in our life. For me, the fear of giving this class today was a great fear. But due to the mercy of the devotees, I hope I'm saying some right things here. For my own purification. But we can see, we can only overcome these things if we are in the association of devotees. My Guru Maharaj always made this point. He said that never ever live ISKCON. You know, just like we're reading here, the repentance is because Maharaj Parikshit was cursed. We may also be cursed by other devotees for doing things that we know, sometimes for doing the right things, sometimes for doing the wrong things. But the thing is that if we remain within this movement, then one way or the other, our life will become successful. Our life will become successful, but our life at the moment is not that successful. It's successful materially, maybe in other ways. But spiritually, we need to become successful. And that success is actually the real test is at the time of death. At the time of death, will we be able to remember Krishna? Will we be able to remember devotees? Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu was giving the class last week, he was giving the example of a temple in America where this devotee was pretty introvert, very shy, wouldn't speak so much, but some thugs had come to vandalize the temple and give them trouble. But the moment he started reciting the names of the devotees, he became very strong in his thoughts. So we can see that when we associate with devotees, we can become extremely strong in our spiritual life. But the problem that lies is within the ashram, that we've seen through history itself, throughout the era of time, there are different purposes at different times. During Prabhupada's time, the main emphasis was to distribute books. In order to spread the movement, this is how it happened. This was back in the 60s and the 70s. In the 80s, was how to get more devotees to join the ashram. But in the present day, we can see there are, not a handful, there's quite a good number of devotees within the ashram, but there's a greater number of devotees that are actually living outside. So when we're living outside, sometimes we think, everything is so difficult. But things will be difficult wherever we are. I'm sure when you're in the ashram, there are also difficulties sometimes. Someone's doing this, someone's doing that, someone's waking up at a different hour, not according to the schedule, someone's doing something different. Yes? In the same way, even within the household, there will always be difficulty. But the point being is that death is going to come regardless of who we are and where we are. So Prabhupada has really given us the foundation of what our life is meant to be. He says, Jiva Daya Hari Nam Sadhu Sangha. If we do these three things every single day, this will actually give our spiritual life some good standing, not just for this life, but for eternity. These things will benefit us throughout eternity. Not this birth, but other births to come, even the births after. Bhaktisiddhanta gives a good example. He said, this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. It's just like being in the bathroom. We should do our business and get out. So this material world is actually not a fit place for any of us. But we're here. We're here. How do we make the most of it? After 8,400,000 species of life, we've been given the opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. Jai Shishi Radha Gopalananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman and Mana ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We've been given this opportunity, but with this opportunity comes a very minute amount of free will, the independence. The whole reason of our being in the material world is due to our small independence. Just going back to the example of the child, the child wants independence from the parents as they grow older. Some of you may know my son Madhava. He really misses coming to the manor, coming and playing the madanga, doing guru puja, and then go to school. But as this has been lacking, his other senses have awakened. As we grow, different senses awaken. Up to the age of 5, we're all innocent. Very, very naive and innocent. But after the age of 5, some different taste comes in. So as different ages approach, our taste also changes. But really the taste that we're really after is chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we actually acquire this taste, then we'll understand the purpose of our life. But as long as we remain, or long as we think we want to be independent, all the troubles of life, not just for this life, but for many lifetimes will come. But as just said previously, my Guru Maharaj used to say, now, whatever happens, even if we fall out with certain devotees, we should never, ever leave the association of devotees. Because it's the association of the devotees that will actually help us to go back home, back to Godhead. But by our own efforts and endeavor, definitely, for myself, I know it's never going to be possible. I've been very fortunate that I've had the nurturing of devotees like Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranamandu Prabhu, from the very beginning of my spiritual life, to nurture me. We can see that how wonderful and great examples they actually are. They lived a life, or they, you know, Shruti Dharma Prabhu lived the life of a surrender, a surrendered soul. We can see, you know, all his life, right from the very beginning, his only duty has been to Bhaktivedanta Manor. That he's given his life to the manor, same with Pranabandhu Prabhu. We can, and when we're associating with devotees like this, something good will rub onto us. Otherwise, if our association is of different things, as I said, my son's, his senses are awakening now. He's into playing computer games and doing other things. But this is a phase of life. There are different phases of life, and each and every one of us go through these phases of life. But ultimately, we should work in a way, we should understand that we should realize what is our ultimate goal of life. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, here has been cursed, so many other things have happened. He's had to face Kali, who's come in his kingdom. He had to give him a place of residence. But the point is that we're supposed to be learning from each of these lessons. And these lessons are there not just for us, but for other people that we associate with. The only place and the only time we'll actually be able to do something and realize ourselves is when we reach to the stage of, Bhagavad Gita actually explains this, 1854, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Na Sochati Na Kanchati Samasarva Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Lapta Param. That one is thus transcendentally situated at once, realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So we can see there's so many things there for us if we want to take something. But if we don't want to take something, we'll always be looking for the negativity. We'll be looking at negative in everyone and everything, because that negativeness exists in us. Something that exists in us will transpire by the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we give our classes, the way we do things. But if we acquire some of these qualities that Krishna is asking us to have, then surely, at that last hour, at that last moment, somebody will be around us. We have seen many, many examples in this case. A lot of you may not know Janava, her mother, Savitri Priya, who passed away 25, 30, something like quite some time ago. The parents, both the parents were anti-Krishna conscious. But then somehow the other, by the association of devotees, they then themselves became devotees, and took initiation. And her mother, Savitri Priya Mataji, when she realized she had cancer, she spoke to our Guru Maharaj, and he especially came to visit her. Her cancer was so bad that, you know, she couldn't lift her hand, she couldn't do anything. But at the last moment of her life, she lifted her beads and chanted the Maha Mantra. So these examples are there for all of us. We don't, you know, sometimes we look at Bhagavatam and we look at someone who's Uttamadhikari, someone who's, a great devotee like Bali Maharaj, from whom everything was forcefully taken away in one way. Bali Maharaj knew who the Supreme Personality Godhead is, but when he came in the form of a Brahmin dwarf, as Vamandev, he said to Maharaj Bali, just give me 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj started laughing. He said, don't you know who I am? I'm the king, you know, I can give you anything that you desire. But just 3 steps of land, you know, this little boy, how much can he cover within 3 steps? And the example is there. We see Bali Maharaj within the first step, what he covers. And then he goes to the upper planetary system within the second step and and covers the whole of the universes. And when the third step is left, there's nothing left to cover. And then Bali Maharaj realizes and he says, oh my Lord, you know, put your foot on my head. So this is the surrender. This is the association. This is what we need to be doing. Only when we come to this point will we actually start understanding as devotees what our responsibility is. Prabhupada, you know, gives many examples that in terms of surrender. While Prabhupada was traveling in India on the train, they came to a station and he asked one devotee, you know, this town is very a pious town, so please, you get off here and start a center or start preaching here. Can you imagine if any of us was asked to actually do any of this? What would our actions be? How would we react? And this devotee had only been in the movement 3 years, 4 years, very short time, and maybe even less. I forget the name of the devotee, Prabhupada disciple. But on the instructions of Prabhupada, on the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, he got off there and there he started preaching. So are we actually willing to surrender to the degree, to these examples that are there for us? As Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, yatha mama prapadyante, according to one's degree of surrender, to that degree, Krishna will reveal himself to us. And we can see how such a surrendered soul Maharaj Parikshit actually is. That it is due to his surrender, the Bhagavatam was spoken. Can you imagine, within 7 days, 18,000 verses, all of them spoken. For whose benefit? Who's benefiting at the moment? All of us. So this is the realization. This is what we need to adhere to. And really, that, you know, somehow or the other, if we realize how much indebted we are to the movement, to Prabhupada, then if we realize that, then we will never ever leave the movement. So my request to all the younger devotees there is that, you know, please, if you haven't read it, read Prabhupada's Lilamrita. Because if you understand how much effort, time and blood Prabhupada has put in, then we'll actually really appreciate the appreciation of who really Prabhupada is. As you can tell, the greatness of a mountain is when you take a few steps back. As you take a few steps back from the mountain, you realize how much things are there on the mountain, what the greatness is. We will only actually really appreciate the greatness of Prabhupada as time progresses. So Prabhupada, out of his great compassion, left India at the age of 69 to give us Krishna consciousness. So my request is, please read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, understand Prabhupada before we can understand the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. If these things are there, these things will come with the association of the devotees. But please try to understand Prabhupada. So time is moving, and it's almost time to close. So once again, thank you everyone for listening to a great fool. And I hope that there's something relevant in there. Any comments, corrections, or questions, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for that very wonderful class. So just to reiterate the points that you've made, you were mentioning how in the 19th chapter is really categorized into three points, which is the art of repentance, excellent etiquette, and how it's important that we consult authority, even if we're an expert. And you gave the example of Srila Prabhupada, even at his last moment, he asked for forgiveness from his godbrothers, even though he didn't have to, just to give us that example, to show us, demonstrate to us that example. The next point that you were mentioning was about how death is going to come to all of us, and Maharaj Parikshit demonstrated how we can conquer that in our final moments through asking about what it is that we need to do in this life. And the last point that you were mentioning was how we're all seeking for blessings, but the question really is, what sort of blessings should we be seeking for? And you were giving the example of Prahlad Maharaj, how he was mentioning about that the purpose of a well is to have a water, and a grihastha without an ashram is like a well without any water. So these were some few points, and you gave examples of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he was engaged in devotional service, even though he's had 10 children. About Mother Kunti, even though she was going through so much suffering, she didn't ask Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Instead, she surrendered. So these were some few points I took. Thank you so much. And we do have a question on the chat section right now. One is by Her Grace Amrita Vilasini Matjadi. She asked that, what does Parikshit Maharaj say that he will detach himself from this world only out of fear? What is the fearing? What is he fearing, basically?
Actually, for Parikshit Maharaj, there's no real fear as such, because he's already in Atmaram, he's already self-realized soul. We saw, if we go back in the beginning of the chapters, that he was already trying to be killed by a Brahmastra. I think this has already been discussed before, that at no stage does Maharaj Parikshit mention that I am afraid of death. So death, as I mentioned, is surely going to come to all of us. But the fear comes when the death is near us. Generally, it's said that death is nearer to those who are old, but that's not actually correct. We can see from experiences we hear, you know, babies that have left their bodies within the womb. I have friends who've, you know, have had miscarriages, 3-4 miscarriages. But generally our understanding, we think, you know, as we grow older, death is going to come. But really, death is only around the corner. Time is relative. When it's going to come is not in our hands. Which day is going to come is not in our hands. It's just like the Bhagavatam is spoken in the 7 days, Monday to Sunday. So within these 7 days, for sure, all of us are going to leave this material world. But the fear comes when the death is near, when we're either diseased, we think, you know, I'm going to die very soon. Then we become a little serious, or, you know, we seek association of the devotees, we seek guidance. But really, it's a practice. If we practice from a younger age, the reason we go to school at a young age is because whatever we learn at the young age will remain throughout our life. So spiritually, if we always somehow in the back of our mind, if we accept, you know, that we're also going to die, then we won't have fear of that death. So really, Maharaj Parikshit was not fear in the way of the material way. Hare Krishna, I hope, I'm not sure whether that answered the question.
No, thank you so much. That was a very wonderful insight. Another question that Jayo Prabhu had was that you mentioned about success. So his question was, what is the Acharya's view regarding success? What are their view?
The views of the Acharyas. The views of the Acharyas is that, you know, that how successful we are individually or collectively is how much Krishna consciousness are we actually spreading? And what example are we being to others? Because material success is very easily definable. Material success is, you know, to have a lot of wealth, have beauty, to have followers. But this is not what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point of success is. On the contrary, his point of success is nadanam, najanam, nasundaram. That we don't want any of these things as devotees. As devotees, even if something comes to us, the point is yukta vairagya. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that, you know, the amount of wealth the Goswamis had, as we were reading earlier, you know, the amount of gold coins that they had, if you calculate it into today's means of money, you know, be a billionaires. But what did he do with the money? He gives a definition, Srila Rupa Goswami, is that 50% of our wealth should be given to charity, 25 for our family, and 25% for emergencies. So success is defined in how we do these things. But material success is not something that we're interested in. But materially, you have to become a little bit successful in order to give something. You can only give something if you have something. But if you have nothing, what can you give? I hope that helps.
And that was very helpful. Thank you so much, Guru. That's about it. We don't have any more questions in the chat section, but we really want to thank you so much for giving us your time, for enlightening us and inspiring us.